Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning. What a fellowship in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a joyfulness in the presence of the Lord and of the children of God. The best place to ever be at any time is among those who love the Lord. And we thank you because the Holy Ghost has shed your love abroad in our heart. In the name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. No sin with him until the day of redemption. In the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Thank you. We worship you. Lord, I want to now read the scripture this morning. Even bless us the more, Lord, as we do. Father, in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
This morning, a word that is either vaguely understood or not understood at all by many Christians, and yet is one of the most important attributes of our redemption. It's called the word righteousness. See, what is righteousness really, you know? In the Christian perspective. So, let's begin by saying this. The reason that God created man was for what is heart hunger for fellowship. Yes, God created man because of his heart hunger for fellowship, you know. We saw this work very well initially when he created Adam and Eve. And that's in Genesis 3:8 of many scriptures. And that scripture says this. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And I'll just stop right there. You see, God will come. I think that's the usual thing that God does to them every day. I believe it is. Until this particular time where the fall occurred and things like that, you know. Beautiful fellowship that God was having with them until that disobedience came. God warned the first parents the consequences of disobedience. He warned them. And we can see that in Genesis 2:17. So it says, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die, the Lord said. Of course, the enemy, the liar, the father of lies, begin to lie to them from there. Look at what he says to them. Genesis 3:4, exactly opposite to what God said. Genesis 3:4, that's what the devil said. The devil that embedded himself in the serpent. And the serpent began to talk by the inspiration of Satan. And he said, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Exactly opposite what God told man. See? He does the same thing today. That's the way he was. Liar and father of lies. The Bible tells us something like that, you know. So notwithstanding though, man did die anyway. I don't care what he said. When God says something, it will surely come to pass, amen? Whether it is now or whatever, it shall surely come to pass. The Lord says, heaven and earth shall pass away, my word shall never pass away. You see? So it came to pass anyway. So notwithstanding, man died. He did die in the day, not the second word, that he ate thereof, according to the word of God. Where? The fulfillment is twofold of that death, but the occur, it is twofold. First of all, he died spiritually within 24 hours of that committer of sin. He died spiritually. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
It's a two-way thing, you know. So he died right there. He died right away. And secondly, physically, death came to man within God's one day.
Amen.
You and I count day by 24 hours, right? God has his own counting. He called it 1,000 years, one day to him. Praise the
Amen.
Lord. See? That I can give you two scriptures for that. So that he died physically within one day of within one God's day of counting things. In Psalm 90, we are told, verse 4, for 1,000 years in that sight are but as yesterday, when it is past, and as a watch in the night. That's God, that's me. It can't stand like that and so on. Where? As a matter of 2 or 3 witnesses, 2 Peter 3:8. So we have 2 witnesses in there in the Bible. The Bible says, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. So with what happened there, no man ever lived up to 1,000 years.
Yes.
No man ever lived to one day of God's calendar. He died physically the day that God said he will die. You know, spiritually, 24 hours, he died. She died. He died spiritually. And of course, physical day too, one day of God's year, I mean, one day with God is 1,000 years. No man has ever reached 1,000 years. The oldest man that's ever lived is Methuselah. He lived 969 years. Praise the Lord. So you see, Adam himself, 930 years, you know. So, both talk spiritually, yeah, in one sense, he died that same day, one calendar day, 24 hours. Physically, within 1 year of God's day, he died. So we see that right there. So what happened to that thing now? So, and so where, on that note, a question often asked is, what would have happened? Talking about righteousness, I don't forget my subject, but I want to just lay this foundation. A question often asked is, what would have happened to Adam and Eve had they not sinned? See, God say, the day you do this, you will die, right? So we know they died, really, you know? So, but the question often asked was, what would have happened to them had they not sinned? Well, obviously, because God says so, they would not have died. Amen? Mm-hmm. That's simple. See? So, they would not have died. Although, they would not have probably lived perpetually in the physical body with its limitation. You know? So, and so the scripture answer this question. In what happened to the man called the man who the Bible called the seventh from Adam. The Bible says in Jude 1:14, according to the seventh from Adam. You know, the seventh from Adam. What happened to him? Of course, we know seven it was the perfect number or the number of fulfillment. So we allow that man, you know, in Genesis 5:24, the Bible says, and Enoch walked with God, and it was not, for God took him. See right there. So, we are trying to show by the scripture what could have happened to Adam and Eve had they not sinned. Now, we are thinking, we know that they wouldn't have lived in the physical body they have, you know, for its limitation. So, what would have happened to them? So, God used Enoch to tell us what would have happened to them had they not sinned. So, why? We know, another thing, flesh and blood, you see, cannot inherit God's everlasting kingdom. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
That's right. They were flesh and blood, right? And flesh and blood, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, I believe it is, cannot inherit God's everlasting kingdom. So, Enoch's translation is a demonstration of how Adam and Eve's physical existence would have terminated had they not sinned. That has been terminated. That's what happened to Enoch. God demonstrated it right there, you know. So, it will have occurred by translation rather by death. See? Just by the way. Now, the product of spiritual death, so they died spiritually, right? Within 24 hours of the sin. The product of spiritual death, which are sin consciousness. Spiritual death is what? Sin consciousness, sense of unworthiness, and inferiority complex, and a limited man from God. He couldn't approach God anymore, you know, like he used to do, or like when it was before the fall, you know. So, thus, immediately after this treason, call it, man felt his inability to stand in God's presence uncondemned. See, that what happened to him, that spiritual death. Unable to reach God. You can't really fellowship with God anymore, you know. So, that what happened. So, man needed redemption. The reason why, so, and God took it upon him, said, he knew what would happen. He is all-knowing God. He knew that the devil will tempt them to this thing. So God has his own master plan how to redeem her. So he has a plan to redeem her. And why will he redeem her? The reason why God redeemed her after the fall is the same reason why he created man. He created him for fellowship. Amen. He never lost that attribute of his to have fellowship with man. So that's the same reason he redeemed man. He could just say, okay, let them go. You know, and so that. No. He didn't make a mistake in creating me the first time. Amen. He never make mistakes, praise the Lord. So the same reason why he created him, the same reason why he redeemed him for fellowship. So, and for man to be restored in perfect fellowship with God, the righteousness, for him to have fellowship again with the righteous Father God, righteousness must be given to man. So I'm talking about righteousness this morning. It's time usually used among Christians, anything, even today, you know. Someone that took this song, many vaguely understand it, and so what it is in the Bible, in the Bible, understand it, and so on, you know. So, righteousness must be given to man by God, God's own righteousness, really. All sin consciousness, sense of unworthiness, and inferiority must be eliminated from man's spirit and mind for him to really have fellowship again with God. It has to be, you know. So, and so we need to see. You know what God wrought in redemption. So, and again, what is righteousness in Bible way? righteousness. It is the ability to stand in the presence of God without the sense of guilt. You know, that's righteousness. Or inferiority. That is righteousness. You have to stand before God without any sense of guilt whatsoever, you know. So, and unless man is given this ability to stand before the Father God without a sense of guilt, as before the fall, that's what happened. Before Adam sinned, I mean, he was confident, right? As soon as he sinned, what did he do? He went to hide himself. You see? He hid himself. They couldn't now face God anymore, you know. They couldn't stand, you know, God's holiness. Adam, where are you? Oh, I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid, you know. See? No more confidence. See? Rather than have to be restored to him to face God again, you know. So anyway, it cannot, I mean, it is only when the consciousness of sin is eradicated that man's fellowship with the Father can be spontaneous and free again. And I cannot overemphasize that the reason for the new creation is that fellowship between God and man might be restored. So we know that. I'm going to talk about that later. So as long as a man has a consciousness of sin and a sense of unworthiness in the presence of his own Father, there can be no joyous fellowship between them. Even to today, even a Christian sin, unless you correct it, you won't have a joyous and spontaneous fellowship with God. You won't, you know. We'll talk about that later, you know. So anyway, the Father God knew from the beginning that his righteousness, God's own righteousness, must be legally given to man. And the Bible tells us to really. We are the scripture for that. God foreknew it, that we do this thing. His own, there is no other righteousness as we please God. It has to be God's own righteousness, you know. And let's see what the Bible says about that in Romans 3:22. And I read. And even the righteousness of God, you see that one? Not just any kind of righteousness. Even Isaiah told us in 54th chapter, our own righteousness, they are like filthy rags before God. Amen. Praise the Lord. I don't have that one here. I think it's 54 of Isaiah. It's that to one at all. Anyway, in Romans 3:22, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. Now I'll tell you what the righteousness is, right? Of Jesus Christ. Unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. Verse 26 says, to declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, meaning God's righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Here's another rendering of that verse 26. I'm talking about Romans 3:26. Thank you, my sister. I know it's Isaiah 54 somewhere. Praise God. Thank you. Praise the Lord. So now, you see? So now I want to reread Romans 3:26 in another rendering. Say that he might be just, right? Another person said that he might be righteous. So here's the rendering. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be righteous, instead of justifier, and the righteousness of him which believeth in Jesus. See? Now, anyway, so, if the righteous Father God is to have perfect fellowship with man, he must make man as righteous as himself. Amen?
Amen.
It has to be. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I mean, you know, so it has to be. So, and this is the heart of the gospel message, actually, as it's given to the world. That is the heart of the gospel message, you know. And in fact, the Bible tells us that the gospel is a revelation of the righteousness of God. Amen? The old gospel is a revelation of God's righteousness. Where is it? In Romans 1:16 we read, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. What is the gospel of Christ? For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Verse 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed. Wherein what? Therein, meaning in the gospel of Christ. Amen? In the gospel of Christ is the righteousness of God revealed. from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So what I'm talking about here is this. So the gospel is a revelation of the of the righteousness of God. Bible says so, that guy in that verse and so on. God's redemption has been adequate, we know that, and sufficient to meet the needs of man, the fallen man. And we are told here in Romans 1:17 that this gospel is a revelation of the righteousness that God has made available to man. For therein, in this gospel, is revealed the righteousness of God that becomes man's righteousness. So, true righteousness is what I'm defining as. In fact, the title of this message is Christ our righteousness. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. That is the whole story. What I'm saying about Christ our righteousness. That is the title of this message. So, that is our righteousness. Nothing else. We do it. And so, that you know. So, anyway, the following scripture shows us how God has provided that righteousness upon legal grounds. So I say legal grounds, yes, against Lucifer and so on. Let's see in Romans 4:25, the first part. It says, who, meaning Christ, was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. See, here is a little translation of that verse. It reads, who was delivered up for our trespasses and was raised when we were declared righteous. See? You know, I like that translation too. I don't know my I read the King James all the time. I don't even have any other Bible. Praise the Lord. never in my own Christians have I read any other Bible than the King James, you know. And he was talking about that now. There are so many perverted Bibles out there, you know, like our brother was saying at the beginning of the message. And so there are some Bibles. Even back in decades ago, they don't have Isaiah 7:14, where it talks about the virgin birth. They have such a Bible like that, you know. They deny the virgin birth. They deny the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know. Even Mark 16, where it says, this such a brother I believe. Many Bibles are missing on that. Because they couldn't attain to it. You cannot attain to it yourself, amen? Praise the Lord, that's your failure. They think it's by human effort. No man can do it. It has to be God. It has to be the Holy Ghost in you, amen? So they took it out of their Bible. So we have to be very careful. King Jesus is the only same Bible I know of. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I mean, I don't know how you cannot understand it. It's in English, you know. I don't care how accurate they call it, you know. So praise the Lord. So be careful about what you read. Anyway, so Romans 5:19 even throw more light into this. So that Christ was raised when we were declared righteous. You know, in Romans 5:19 we read, for as by one man's disobedience, meaning Adam, right, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one, of course the Lord Jesus Christ, shall many be made righteous. Talking about righteousness in the Bible sense of it, not even the way many Christians understand it and so on. They don't understand it and so on, you know, or vaguely understand it, you know. So redemption is based upon twofold law. One, man's identification with Adam. Two, man's identification with the Lord Jesus Christ. See? So that's how it is set right there, you know. So, it is through the identification of humanity with one man, Adam, that all were made sinners. That is, all came under condemnation. See? It is therefore reasonable, isn't it, that through one, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, all be made righteous. As the human race was identified with Christ when he paid the penalty of that transgression. So, as the scripture has said, Christ was delivered up for our trespasses, like I read before. So, Christ was delivered up, Bible says, crucified, because what? He has been made one with us. Amen? That's why. He has been made one with us. In what sense? Our spiritual death was laid upon him. And he was made to become sin. That happened. Scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he has made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Praise the Lord. Let me tell you something. That body that Christ came in, it's like the body that Adam had before the fall. Amen? That body could not die until they lay our sins on him. Amen. Of course, there are many attempts upon his life when he preached the first sermon in Luke chapter 4. After his manner, went to the temple on the Sabbath day, and the book was given to him. He saw the prophet, where I find why it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, and so many things, to open the eyes of the blind, to open the to set the captives free." I said, yeah, he was reading from there and seeing that, you know. And when he closed the book, and he said, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears." What? The Jews. You mean that this prophet pertains to you? And it was to throw him out of the Hebrew. He just departed from the midst of them. He just vanished. Eh? Praise the Lord. What am I saying? You couldn't die until our sins were put upon him. Praise the Lord. That's just a simple story right there, you know. Even himself said, "This life of mine, I had a power to lay it down. Power to take it up again." Amen. Praise God. Nobody take it up from me. Initially, the garden of Gethsemane, if I remember correctly, when they sent those people to go and arrest him, as soon as they see him, they all fell down to their faces. Who seek it down? They all fell down. Amen.
Amen.
So nobody could die until when he took our sins upon him, that's when he was able to die. And then to be raised again from the dead. Anyway, so that's by the way. So he was raised when we were declared righteous. He finished the work of redemption. "And because the Lord had been made all that spiritual death had made us to be, he could not be raised from that condition until man had been declared righteous." Talking about Bible righteousness now, the gospel righteousness, you know. So when the claims of justice against humanity while justified, Christ could be raised. See? And because he had been made sin, and when the penalty was paid, he himself now had to be made righteous in the spirit. Because he took our sins, he himself now has to be made righteous in the spirit. Scripture, yes. 1 Timothy, we read this all the time, right? 3:16. Christ has to be made righteous in the spirit. Let me read to you 1 Timothy 3:16. "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness." Another scripture that can tell you who Christ is. There are three gods. There is only one God, right? That scripture, this one of them that can tell you the whole story, right? It says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh." Now watch this one now. "Justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in this world, received up into glory." Amen. Brother, I was thinking, you know, this same Jesus, right? And talking about God, right? God is all these ones, right? Now, the thing I want to show to you here is this. I say himself has to be made righteous, you know, in the spirit. Because that's what justified, you know, where I say God manifests in the flesh. Justified in the spirit. It means made righteous in the spirit. Why? Because he took our sins upon himself.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So in one scripture you can see that God, he was manifesting the flesh, right? Who is that? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Abraham was talking about Acts chapter 1, I believe it was. You know, we are the same Jesus. Who you see us go up, we return in the same manner as you see him go back. Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
So you see now that is the true righteousness. See, therefore, when Christ arose from the dead, the human race had legally been declared righteous. Every man was declared righteous when Christ rose from the dead. The human race stood legally before God now as free from sin, as if Adam had not sinned. No, and the Bible tells us so. Yeah, when the Lord rose from the dead, the human race was declared free from sin, as if Adam didn't commit any sin. It was a perfect redemption. Where is the scripture for that? 2 Corinthians 5:18. Now, "And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself." Not in putting the word, right? Not just, he reconciled the whole world unto himself. You see? "Not in putting their trespasses unto them and has committed unto us who believe the word of reconciliation. Praise God. See? Now, redemption is all of God. That verse tells us, redemption is all of God, who has reconciled the world unto himself. No wonder in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, right? That's right. That he gave his only begotten son. See that one? So he redeemed the world. When he lived from the dead, he saved the whole world. But I'm coming to something. Now, because of the reconciliation, he is not reckoning unto them their trespasses anymore. Not in this anymore, because he has redeemed mankind, you know. He is not bidding against them an account of their sins anymore. Why didn't he do that anymore, you know? Now, that's a comma there. This is it. However, although man has legally been declared righteous in Christ, it is only each person's personal acceptance of that reconciliation in Christ that will save him, innit? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
That's where people fail, you know? You have saved the whole world. Talking about healing, God has already healed you, right? How to accept it, right? So, yes, that is the thing. Each person has a responsibility. So that redemption and so on will be true. They are done for every man, right? But they must accept it, right? I told you of a story here one time where she said, here in the U.S., many, many years ago, during the war time, forgiveness, a pardon is no pardon unless it be accepted. Amen?
Amen.
It was a president of the U.S. There was a man, maybe the military, committed some offense and so on. He had to face a firing squad, right? But this man was a friend of the president. So this man approached the president to say, you have had presidential forgiveness, right?
Mm-hmm.
You had it last month, right?
Yeah.
So called the presidential forgiveness. So this man approached the president, hey, my friend, this and so, please forgive him. Okay. The president wrote a letter, you know, and said to acquit the man, you know. So this man went to his friend, hey, the president has acquitted you. This is real story. I'm not talking some. This is a real story here in the U.S. You have been acquitted by the president. This man refused to have been healed and so on. You know what happened? He died by the firing squad. Now they now ask, why did the man? Why was he died by the firing squad? They said the man refused the acceptance. So the thing was said. So they took to the court. The president acquit somebody and you kill him.
Mm.
Then the court say, well, a pardon is not a pardon unless it's accepted. Amen? Praise. So it's the same thing with human race. God has redeemed mankind. You must personally accept that reconciliation to be effective in your life. Thank God we have done. Amen? Praise the Lord Jesus. Anyway, let's go now. So, the revelation of righteousness shows us two things. One, we were declared righteous, right? That is, we are free from the condemnation wrought by Adam's transgression. We have been doing. Number two, when we accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, we become freed from all personal transgression, and we have been imparted the nature of God. Amen.
Amen.
When you accept Christ, yes, sir. So first of all, you are clear from the guilt that Adam did and so on. That you know. Then number two, even your own personal sins have been forgiven you, remitted. The Lord told them. Luke 25, I believe it is, and so on, that remission and forgiveness of sins be preached in his name among all nations. Amen?
Amen.
Remission means never happened before. See? Remission and forgiveness, you know. So, by you accepting the Lord Jesus Christ, all the sins that Adam committed and so on, it's wiped out. Then your own personal sins and so forth are forgiven. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
See? Righteousness, you know. So, receiving God's nature is in reality receiving God's righteousness. It was Christ having our spiritual death laid upon him that made him sin. We know that. As unrighteous as we were, as we let you know, now our receiving God's nature causes us to become his righteousness. That's right. Exactly right. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says it to us. Make it very short right now. For he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. Righteousness in the right sense, in God's terminology and God's word. The Lord became sin by receiving our nature, and then we become God's righteousness by receiving Christ's nature. Amen. Bible says, praise the Lord Jesus. Bible says that we are made partakers of the divine nature. Amen. By the many, many promises of God. Amen. See, praise God. Now, here is another scripture that further reveals to us our righteousness in Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:30 makes it so clear. But of him, meaning of the Lord Jesus, are ye in Christ Jesus, of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Praise the Lord. He's made all that to us. It's our righteousness. Christ is our righteousness, really. Christ himself is the righteousness of the child of God. Amen?
Amen.
That's right. And that gives that child of God the same standing. Very important now. Which we gloss over or don't really assimilate or don't really act upon. So that gives the child of God the same standing before God the Father that Christ Jesus has today. Amen?
Amen.
The same standing. As he is, so are we in this world. Amen?
Amen.
The Bible says so. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
That is the full redemption. Whether you know it fully or not, doesn't make a difference. That is what God has wrought for us in Christ. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
He is our righteousness. So you have the same standing before God the Father as the Lord Jesus has over there right now. He says so. That's why he can tell us in John 14:12, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall they do. And even greater works. That means I go to the Father, something like that, you know. So now, when we were born again, we became the righteousness of God. And Christ himself is our righteousness. See? So, and if I want to say this, this is the one message I tell you right now. The one message that God has tried to make clear to our hearts, meaning Christians, that we might be free from sin consciousness.
Amen.
That have been ours as a result of spiritual death that came to Adam and things like that, you know, that we might joyfully, you as a Christian, take our place in his family as his sons and daughters, and that we might walk as fearlessly in the presence of sin, demons, disease, and circumstances as did the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Amen. Praise the Lord. That what God has done to us, whether we have accepted or practicing it or not, or using it, that's a different thing. Somebody could write a check of so many dollars, you can keep it in your wardrobe and be starving, it's no different. Yeah, give it to you, you know. Praise the Lord. You know, so you have done it. It's finished, you know. So, and so this message, brethren, you know, of righteousness, is the one message that Satan has hindered our knowledge across Christendom to fully pass. We know it some, but we didn't really know the way that the Bible is bringing it out. You know, I don't know that, you know. I know. So if you know that you can stand before God the Father as the Lord Jesus stand before the Father, nothing shall be impossible unto you. Amen. Praise the Lord. He even told you that. He said, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. You see? So he even says that, that ye are God. Amen. Small g. Praise the Lord. Ye are God. Unto whom the word of God is given. Is given. Something like that, you know. So I'm finishing up this morning. Quickly. Something like that, you know. So now. So instead of people. Where people preach sin to the sinner. Unsaved. And they preach sin. Even to Christians. What are you doing to the Christian? It produces weakness and unstableness. Amen. Tell them about the full redemption. Amen. Do we not tolerate sin? No. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
But you must speak of the righteousness that we have at Christ. It's our righteousness must be hampered upon. Satan has made us think that it was a mark of humility before God, you know. I always say it here. To boast of our sinful and weak and unworthy condition. We take it holiness. Now that's not holiness. I always say it here. Something like that, you know? It is not humility at all, however, to speak of ourselves as poor, weak, and something like that, you know. It is dishonoring. It's even dishonoring to God, dishonoring to redemption and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you are confessing that kind of confession, you know, you say I'm weak and all this. No, not so. It is considering Satan's work in Adam more effectual than redemption in Christ. When a Christian begins to talk like that, praise the Lord. It ought not to be so, you know. Now, we can understand why Satan has hindered our knowledge of righteousness. That is already ours. As far as the new creation is concerned, Satan has been brought to naught, brethren. Amen?
Amen.
The Bible says so. As far as the new creation is concerned, Satan has been brought to naught. One scripture quickly. In Hebrews 2:14, we are told, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also, meaning the Lord Jesus himself, likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. One thing about where, another place where I say is that he has made them to be less than nothing, making to be nothing, by destroying him, Anyway, Satan has no right, brethren, to rule the new creation. He doesn't. I don't care. The people keep it. At one time here, we say that the power that Satan has, the power the Christian gave him, they are not using your own authority. Period. He's a liar and father of lies. We buy his lies, then he cheats you, So he uses deception. I say it's like a dead dog, right? You kick him, and then you are just wasting your energy, right? So anyway, Satan has no right to rule the new creation. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have authority over him. He even tells us in Luke 10:19, "Behold, I give unto you power over all the power of the enemy." Amen. No matter what he can come up with, praise the Lord. You have been given power and authority over that, So now, how the body of Christ through these ages taking its place as the actual righteousness of God and stood fearlessly in the presence of Satan and all his hosts, the power of Satan would have been broken in a larger measure. Yeah, much has been done, thank the Lord, but in a larger measure over the human race that we have today. But Satan has made the church so conscious of sin and unworthiness that in his presence they have felt too weak to break his power or to live free of his dominion. So, brethren, this morning, no telling what this message of righteousness will mean to Christianity today. If received, it will solve every problem that the Christian have. I'm telling you right now. Amen. Praise the Lord. Imagine knowing that, look, you are the very righteousness of God. That's what God says about you. Whether we have attained to it or not, or whether we have received it or not, that's a different story, right? No. Your fellowship with the Father will be sweeter and more joyous, without a sense of condemnation, with nothing to stand between you and your heavenly Father. That's what he will do for you. This message of righteousness, that Christ is your righteousness, So, finish off this morning. So, talking of fellowship, right? I said we make your fellowship richer, right? Hear what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1:9. See? So, God is faithful, by whom you are called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Don't forget the reason God created us in the beginning, because he longed for our fellowship. And the reason he redeemed us, because he wanted fellowship back. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. I have found in you and me who have received Christ. So, and God is faithful, by whom you are called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We were called out of the discord, called out of bitterness, and unhappiness, or spiritual death. We are called into the fellowship with our great Father God, the creator of all the universe. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's who you are called to be fellowshipping with, your heavenly Father created all things. So we see that there, in 1 John 1:3, we are told this: that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. That is your purpose, fellowship in the Lord Jesus Christ. Understanding the message of righteousness will make it easier for you and me to trust God more. Amen?
Amen.
For our needs. Praise the Lord. See, even the Bible says, there is now no condemnation, brethren. Amen? To them who are in Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
How often we forget that, There is now no condemnation to them who walk not after the flesh, though, but walk in the sea. Romans 8, somewhere in there. Praise the Lord. Now, we have more confidence in our prayer life and our testimony. We understand this message of righteousness, really, We will gain a reputation for having our prayers answered. Because why? We know and understand this scripture I want to read here in 1 John 5:14. I think we know it here very well. 1 John 5:14. And this is the confidence that we have in him. That if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desired of him. So that's what we know. We enjoy this more as we know these things, as well as that, you know. By the authority of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you as a Christian will be able to cast out devils. Amen? And you can lay hands on the sick, and we're going to see more of that. And they shall recover. We are told in Mark 16, because you will not feel unworthy to use that name. You'll be bold to use that name and so on, that, you know. So even in the book of Acts, after the day of Pentecost and so in the persecution, they were praying, Lord, that you may grant unto your servants boldness, amen, to declare, you know, the word of God and so on, that, you know. So, anyway, so let's see. Now, no longer will you be hindered in taking your place or using the authority of the name of the Lord Jesus, through which the Lord will be glorified. So, is this then the secret of the power that many sincere Christians have been seeking in their life, knowing that they are the very righteousness of God, that Christ is our righteousness? Is this the secret that God we should have understood more than we know today? That is, knowing that you are the righteousness of God and Christ is your righteousness. And the Bible says, thus saith the Lord. I put it up here. Revival is inevitable to all who will understand and receive this message of righteousness. A revival that will bring about the transmitting faith. Amen? Praise the Lord. I put that one there. I was just writing. Give me those words. And I put it there. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Now, can the fellowship be broken at all? You know, this fellowship I'm talking about, can it be broken where the scripture answers in the affirmative? In 1 John 1:8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. To give a balancing thing now, you know. But in the next verse, we are told how the fellowship can be restored. Amen? Not that on the time of Adam anymore. If we confess our sins, it's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all righteousness. All of it and so on. So as soon as we do confess our sins, the broken fellowship is a thing of the past. As surely as you confess your sins, he forgives. Unlike men, what God forgives, God forgets. Amen? Praise the Lord. There is no memory at all of it. We should never remember it again. See? We should go on as though the fellowship had never been broken. Amen? That is the expectation of God for you and I, you know. So you are honoring God by that God's word is true. Praise the Lord Jesus. You know. So again, notice, we cannot have revival with broken fellowship. We cannot have power with God or power with man if we have broken fellowship. So he gave us a way to quickly remedy that and so on, that, you know. Even back in the book of the prophet and so on, I think in 43 of Isaiah, the 25th verse, he said, "Thy sins and thy iniquity I will remember no more." Amen. Praise the Lord. How much more New Testament scripture? Let's finish here. You know, we talked about Enoch before, what happened to Adam and Eve. I did not sing. So of Enoch, it is said in Hebrews 11:6. This is our fellowship, talking about 11:6. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had his testimony that he pleased God. Why will God now reference this Old Testament scripture in New Testament? It's simple. The translation of Enoch served in the divine plan. We told you what he did before, because he shows what happened to Adam and Eve, right? So this translation of Enoch also served in the divine plan, yet another purpose. What is it? He is a type of those who will be translated in the rapture. of the saints. Amen? It's a type of that. An event, meaning the rapture of the church, which occurs just before Christ's visible coming. But I was talking about people not believing in the rapture, yes. In the Bible days, there are those people, the resurrection has passed. Bible says, even the early church and so on, you know. And they destroy the faith of many. But not when you know God's word, amen? Rapture is coming. Could happen any time from now, you know. It's even at the door. Bible tells us and so on, you know. So you see, so it's a type, you know, it's a type of that, you know, who will be translated at the rapture of the saints, an event which occurs just before Christ's visible coming. So there are many comings of Christ. He has come one time, coming again. The next one will be invisible, really. So the fact that the rapture of the saints will take place before the visible coming of Christ is indicated by the prophecy of Enoch himself. That's in Enoch. That is in Jude. In Jude 1:14, about that scripture here this morning. And Enoch also, the servant from Adam, prophesied of this, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. The spiritual logic or sense is this. It is obvious that the Lord will have to come for his saints before he could come with them. Isn't it? Praise the Lord. If you come with that, you come and take them for us. Praise the Lord. We have another reason to give and so on. No. Enoch is another way. Another way is a type of the fourth fruit rapture, of which we spent a lot of time here qualifying for the fourth fruit and thinking about, you know, it's a type of the fourth fruit rapture. It is taken out of the world before the judgment of the flood. Amen. Before the great tribulation and so on gets into the maximum thing, we know the 7-year covenant, the 70th week of Daniel can strike any time. We don't know where it can strike any time and so on. You know, the covenant with the Jews will take place. The temple, tribulation temple, as far as we know, they got all they need to be that temple right now, just waiting for the prophetic hour to strike, you know. We know when it is built, the church, you know, has only about 3.5 years left when that 70th week begins to strike and things like that, you know. And in the middle of the week, before he made a covenant with the Antichrist, I mean, you know, the meaning Israel, where he declared to be God, you know, that temple and so on, there we begin the great tribulation of time. The church is gone, according to many, many scriptures. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And the Bible says, as many as have this hope in them, purify themselves. Don't, like Abraham said, don't listen to the tale tellers. Amen? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You know, so, and the perversion of scripture, you know. So, and you know, and so we are gone, you know. So then, it says God, the mark is issued. Before you know it, the judgment of the trumpet will come, the fire judgment will come to the great day of the Lord, Armageddon will come thereafter, and so on, you know. Then before the Lord, the Lord will come with the saints and things like that. So let us keep our eye on the Lord. As we are thinking before, we are expecting Jesus. We are promised in the scripture in the book of Hebrews, and so let's look for him. Will he appear again the second time, amen? You know, without sin, you know, having that, you know. Those who are not looking, you see? They are not looking, see? They won't get anything. They'll be here in the tribulation, you know. It will be too late. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for giving us understanding of the times. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Unto them, the kingdom of God is in parables. But unto us, Lord, you have been speaking to us face to face. And you say, ye are my friends to keep my commandments. So thank you for not only being our Savior, that not only be our Lord and our God, that we are your friends, friends of God, like Abraham of old, a type of the elect. Lord, thank you for the hour we are living in, Lord. Thank you for blessing us with all these things. As we were sharing by the Holy Ghost this morning, Lord, oh Lord, our hands are ready. Lord, oh Lord God, wherever you will send us, Lord, to share this message of the end of the age and the readiness, the need for that or the body of Christ to be ready, especially those who are in those organizations and in these churches and so on. God has children in them. They are waiting for the hour, oh Lord God, for someone to show them. Like the Ethiopian eunuch, God sent an evangelist out of a mighty revival, you know, to go meet him in the desert. Father, you saw the heart of that man. He had been to Jerusalem. He has spoken to the rabbi. He didn't get a gospel message. They just put him to, maybe to the about Isaiah the prophet, and he was riding in his chariot and read the book of Isaiah. And you said, Philip, to him, go meet him. Just to that chariot. Understand what that reader, the man was so humble. How can I understand except somebody guide me? He was so humble. The scripture say from there, Philip then took for the same scripture from Isaiah and preached unto him Jesus. 3 Sundays we stay here, showing in every prophet that they are witness of Christ. So Lord, we thank you. We are looking for such commissions now, Lord God, at the age end. Hungry hearts. God will send his children to them. Those head powers, that's their job, said the Lord. The head powers. At the end of time, who have been shown and understood the false things, originality of all beings, have been revealed to them. And they are humble. They are literally regarded as David. They are still not even known. They are vague to this world. But they have just said the Lord. They don't say nothing. They are not looking for world popularity. They don't belong to the world church. Like Elijah of old, out, or like a lightning out of a blue sky, will they come? They will come with us, said the Lord. And they will set Abraham's spiritual seed free, who are groaning under the bondage of the false church, the bride of Satan, in this age, as God closes up and is not far off. Lord, we thank you. We worship you, Lord. Oh, with the power of mercy, Lord, that when you see them, you walk in Israel. They were like children in the marketplace. Don't even know what they were doing. Lord, you have compassion on them. So your compassion is in us, Lord. We don't rejoice because people are in ignorance of the truth. Our heart, yes, the scroll and the word of God. It's sweet in our mouth. It's bitter in our belly, Lord. When you see the multitude whom you already set free, we don't know it because of ignorance. Even some of my people, they perish because of lack of knowledge. This is a body, Lord. Help us, Lord, oh God, to finish this harvest, Lord, oh God, and make ourselves available for whatever you will send us. This thing we ask, Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus. And now we commit this morning all our need to your hand, Lord. We'll be sitting at your feet having fellowship, Lord, sharing testimonies. You know, let there be more of those testimonies, Lord, of boldness. You know, never to be ashamed of the gospel in the name of the Lord Jesus. Telling everyone we can say, we listen to us. Of you. Hope that is in us. The Lord is coming soon in the name of the Lord. And to the sinner too, Lord, to receive Christ, to accept the salvation which the Lord has freely given. Bible says the Lord Jesus tasted death for every man. We are able to be with all boldness declare these things, Lord, oh God. And many shall be drawn out as by fire, we are told. So we thank you. So our need this morning, whether the spiritual or material, we commit to your hand this morning. We take your word for what it is, Lord. Our God shall supply all our need according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Lord, we thank you, Father. Lord, we shall lack no good thing. The Bible tells us, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we just pray just now, whatever we ask in the Father in his name, he give it us in the name of Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. As we go, make us to be more blessing to our generation in the name of the Lord. Thank you for the promise of favor. Favor in our business. Favor in our job. Favor before all men.
Amen.
In the name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
And the peace of God that passes all understanding, keeping our hearts in such a time like this, Lord. Thou art the good shepherd, Lord. In John 10:10, you say, I'm that one that David prophesied of in Psalm 23. Say, I am the good shepherd. Lord, you will daily lead us and make us lie down in green pastures and beside the still waters. In the name of the Lord Jesus, peace in our household, peace in our family. You have left your peace with us, Lord. We just receive them, Lord, and drink it like water and breathe it like we breathe the air. In the name of Jesus,
amen.
And men shall see that glory upon us, Lord, and they shall glorify thy name.
Amen.
So, Father, I can't also worry to escape the temptation, the hour of temptation. You told us it will try all that dwell upon the face of the earth. All that is happening now is an example, talking of the pandemic and so on, impacting the whole world. As a thief, just sneaking upon the world. Just 1 year ago, the world is no longer the same again. So therefore, Lord, so let your children have understanding. So thank you for how you are going to meet our need. And to meet again, Lord, oh God, let us be gathered again with great testimonies of your great goodness. Lord, thank you for making our fellowship and the fellowship everywhere of the saints a place of comfort, like in the book of Acts, when they have gone through all the trials and so on, and they gather together unto their own in fellowship, you know. Lord God, comforting one another with all these words in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you for hearing us, Lord.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, Father, we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Give me glory to the Lord.